Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you here this morning. I think Michael just covered this same topic in Luke a few weeks ago, so if I butcher it, well, you've heard it before, but I think it's a great reminder to look through again and see Mark's perspective on it. Okay, in today's Bible reading, we've got a bit going on. Clever me thought I could just stay in my comfort zone and write a sermon talking about what I'm familiar with, farming and dirt. But God has a lot more for us to gain and understand out of this passage, so let's work through it together. This passage begins with Jesus' ministry gaining momentum, attracting large crowds that include his disciples and close followers. From a boat on a lake, he starts teaching the large crowd many things by parables, and in his teaching, he describes the four soils that represent how we hear and respond to God's word. Now, I always thought that parables were just stories that Jesus used to relate to his followers to make it personal to them, because that's what we naturally like to do. It's always great to include a good story when conveying a message to an audience. But as we read a little bit later on, Jesus had a different reason for using his parables. These parables that Jesus used were specifically designed to compel the listener to think, to sift the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. These parables are designed to test rather than illuminate, and to test not the intelligence but the spiritual responsiveness of those listening. Moving on to the sowing of the seed. When we plant wheat, 90% of the time it goes through a well-calibrated air seeder to accurately distribute the seed, either through a disc or time machine, which carefully creates a seed trench before a press wheel presses soft, moist soil back around the seed to enable it to germinate. Other times, we spread the seed either by a ground spreader or by a plane. Each of these methods has their pros and cons, but regardless, they are still a big improvement to the spreaders of Jesus' day, which was to spread seed by hand. As a result, their seed did not always fall in freshly prepared and cultivated soil like ours. Instead, their seed landed anywhere, on the path, the shallow soil, the weedy soil, and the good soil. A seed needs to be sown with good soil contact, suitable moisture levels, and the right temperature to germinate and develop into a plant. The path mentioned in verse 4 would have been like a highway, well-travelled, making it very compacted and therefore stopping any moisture from infiltrating and softening it, and in turn allowing the seed to germinate. The seed would have just sat there until it was eaten, taken away by birds. Just like the path, when people's hearts are hard, the word of God just sits on top of it. It's unable to penetrate through the hard surface, and the devil comes and takes the word away before they can believe. Our next soil is the rocky soil, or otherwise known as the shallow or gravelly soil. When we get some spring planting rain, normally in the form of a storm, we roll the dice and plant some sorghum. But if we don't get any follow-up rain, the topsoil can get really dry, hard and gravelly. It's very important for plants to establish their young roots and grow down with the moisture. It's what anchors, feeds and nourishes the plant. These little sorghum plants seem to shoot up and start growing, sending down their roots. But when the moisture is depleted and the single tiny root is all that is anchoring them down, they soon fall over and blow around in the breeze, and a few days later, they generally die. This growing environment would be the same as the seed that fell on the rocky places, attempting to grow roots in shallow soil and consequently having no anchor, failing to thrive under the sun's harsh conditions. We can see this situation personified when people hear the word of God, initially accept it with a great joy and excitement, but there is no depth to their faith. Just like those little sorghum plants, when it gets tough, they quickly fade away and don't have the deep roots to keep them entrenched in God's word. The next soil is the weedy soil. Once our seeds have germinated and are up out of the ground, competition from weeds and other plants can go two ways. The plant either thrives for a little while and wants to grow quickly up and above the weeds. but eventually gets overrun by the weeds, which chokes it out and it dies. Now, I love the herbicide glyphosate, but we are starting to have more and more prominent weeds that are resistant, fleabane and feathertop rhodes grass being the top two. If we don't attack these weeds with another form of chemistry or a good old-fashioned chipo, they compete with the plants next to them, overtaking them, and we end up with bigger and bigger patches of weeds, with each generation spreading more seeds and the problem is amplified. It's very important to have a weed-free seedbed if we want our crops to thrive. Like the weeds amongst the crop, these people Jesus spoke about hear the word of God and accept it. They start to grow and deepen their faith nicely, but when distractions of life shade and prevent their growth, like we often do, their faith is quickly overrun and not prioritised, and they don't follow God wholeheartedly. Now, presuming our soil has managed to avoid a path, rock and thorns, the good soil necessary for growth doesn't just happen by itself. It needs to be cared for and managed to ensure it is kept weed-free, well-nourished with fertiliser and watered. When we do these things, the little seeds we plant are given the best opportunity they can to establish good roots and grow into big, healthy plants to allow us to be able to harvest a good crop and produce a return. This soil, the good soil, represents the people who hear the word of God and take it in. They have a productive heart. They seek to understand the mysteries of God, and their faith grows to an extent that they are able to spread the word of God themselves. Verse 8 says, it comes up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. These people are bearing witness to God through their words and actions. Now, I often wonder how some of my closest family, cousins and friends, who were brought up with the same biblical teaching to me, can be so different in their faith and totally fail to comprehend who Jesus is. How do they believe something different to me? Why doesn't hearing God's word produce the same result in every heart? And I believe an answer can be found in the parable of the sower. The sowing of the divine word of God on the human heart does not automatically or instantaneously produce fruit or result in faith. Rather, our response is dictated by the nature of the heart that receives it. God sends rain on the just and the unjust, just like he sends word to all soil types, regardless of whether they were here or whether they were not here. This parable uses the practical fact of the seed falling on all different sorts of ground to illustrate the differing soil types of the human heart. The hard heart, the shallow heart, the overcluttered heart, and the good heart. Jesus finishes the parable with a clear instruction. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Jesus doesn't only want us to hear his words, but to act on them. And it requires a heart response to believe in them and to use them immediately in decisions and attitudes. Whilst we may easily understand the meaning of this parable now, with the help of Jesus' further explanation, the disciples, and most likely the majority of the crowd, were perplexed. In verse 10, we read when Jesus was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. In verse 11 and 12, he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And it's not exactly what we'd expect to hear from Jesus, is it? But it was designed to make the disciples realize how privileged was their position as disciples of Jesus. God has been pleased to reveal to this little group the mystery of the kingdom, which was still hidden from others. They could talk face to face with Jesus and ask for explanations to what puzzled them, whereas those on the outside, the only explanation would be by another parable, which will test them afresh. So what is the secret of the kingdom of God? Jesus is God's Son, who came to save us from our sins by dying on the cross for us. He is our Lord and Saviour. And that's the great mystery that those on the outside miss. They just can't see the secret. But we have to ask the question, Isn't it the aim of the game for everyone to accept Jesus and turn to him to be forgiven? So why would Jesus want to hold and hide that from anyone? The fact is, Jesus' words are for everyone. Just like the sower scattering seed on all soil types, Jesus' words do fall on the ears of everyone, but it's up to the hearer to actually hear it and accept it in their heart. Jesus wants us to seek him. He wanted the crowds to seek him and find him as he truly is, not just as a miracle worker or someone who does nice things. Yet only by the use of parables could there be a spiritual sifting that would be either eternally rewarding or baffling, according to whether those who listened had ears to hear or not. That is to say, whether or not they earnestly desired to understand God's way in the first place. So it makes sense that to everyone on the outside, all teaching must be in parables, because it would be pointless to teach them deep spiritual truths if they had not yet mastered an elementary level for understanding. But at the same time, Jesus' parables have enough substance for those who truly want to hear and understand Jesus, leading their thoughtful, questioning soul on deeper. Last season, to many people's surprise, was our first season with the Baylor Cotton Picker. Before that, we proudly picked cotton with our basket pickers and module builders, believing it was the cheapest, most cost-effective way to pick cotton. Every picking season, without fail, there were these pesky baler farmers who would try to convince us that it was a better way to pick cotton, but I just didn't get it. I didn't want to try and even understand it. It was just so foreign to me and seemed like an unnecessary luxury. So we stubbornly held on to our module building ways for many more years. But one thing led to another, and we finally made the move, and I can now call myself a true baler believer. Now that picking modules is still okay though, David. Now that doesn't give us true justice to finally accepting Christ as our Saviour, as that decision is one that carries far more weight than my choice of farm machinery. But I'm sure we've all got examples of being the outsider looking in, and when we are finally on the inside, everything seems clear and obvious to us. Let's move on. This parable is significant for setting up other parables in Jesus' ministry. Verse 13, then Jesus told them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" Jesus gives warning that this parable is, as it were, a parable of the parables, for it describes the whole system of parabolic teaching. It is not only the simplest of parables, it is therefore the key to them all. Lucky for us, Jesus just doesn't want to leave his disciples hanging to figure it all out by themselves. He takes the time to dissect it and explain it to them. So I'll just read through verse 14 to 20 again. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall all away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Jesus doesn't want us to be part-time, unfruitful Christians. He wants us to listen to his word, to hear it, and apply it to our lives. For us to achieve this, we ultimately need our soil to be nourished, functional soil, to allow our roots to grow deep into his word and produce a bountiful crop. But we might be sitting here today thinking our soil is a bit off. It could be a bit hard, or a bit shallow, or a bit weedy. But that's okay, because I've come to realise that God is a very good farmer. Our hardened hearts can be softened by reading God's word, which drives a ripper straight through the guts of that tough soil and turns it over. The Bible calls us to be repentant, to surrender ourselves afresh to God, to say sorry for our sin and accept Christ into our lives. If we have a hard heart, we've been shutting out God for too long. We need to stop walking down the paths that lead us away from God and start walking towards God. When our soil is a bit shallow, we need to prepare the ground to build a resilient faith, to allow those roots to reach down deep and hold firm. And to my shame, there are times when my soil feels shallow, when I feel I don't have the boldness or depth of faith to step out and tell people about Jesus, usually in ungodly environments or situations. However, spending time with God, reading His Word, and developing a real relationship with Him is the best fertilizer we can use to restore our poor soil, to enrich us and nourish us, and to help us to step out in faith. Thankfully, God has sent us His Holy Spirit to enable us to do things in God's strength and not in our own. It's also very important that we get around new Christians or those who need a little encouragement to help them to stand strong for Christ so that they have time to develop their own firm, strong roots to be able to withstand the trials of life. At times, my soil also gets a little weedy and needs a cultivation or spot spray. There are distractions and temptations in my life that are constantly trying to grab my attention away from God's word. We need to prioritise protecting our plants, keep weeding out the distractions, setting appropriate boundaries, and trimming unnecessary stuff before it stunts our growth. And the last soil God talks about is the good soil. A good soil is a living thing. It is moving, changing, and growing all the time. And prayerfully, with God's help, we can maintain a good, productive soil to further His kingdom. I was just going to read on verse 21 to 25. So verse 21, He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." God's truth, while it is hidden in parables by Jesus at this time, is not meant to stay hidden. Jesus wants us to seek Him out, discover His truths, and accept Him as our Lord and Saviour. His word is meant to radically change lives and be a light to attract others. And when we receive God's word, we are meant to let it impact us and in turn impact others. Continues on in verse 24. "Consider carefully what you hear," He continued. "With great measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them." Jesus closes His parable with a warning. "Be careful how you listen. Whoever accepts a message will be given more, but whoever rejects God's truth will have it taken away from him." So what are we going to do with it? Will our hearts be hardened to just let Jesus' words bounce off us? Will our hearts be like the rocky soil when it all sounds good in the moment, but as soon as the Monday morning mayhem hits, it's all too hard and Jesus' words shrivel up? Will our hearts be cluttered like weedy ground? Will our great intentions applying God's teaching to our lives is shaded and overrun by our old habits and worldly influences? Or will our hearts be good soil? Will we accept Jesus' word until we discover the mystery of Christ, allowing it to take hold and grow deep roots? Jesus says, if we hear it, receive it, and allow it to grow in good soil, it will multiply and God will use us to bring a great harvest in other people's lives. What we do with the seed is up to us. I'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Lord. And we pray that we may have receiving hearts, Lord, good hearts that hear your word and apply it to our lives, Lord. And may we all always understand the mystery of the kingdom of God, which is your good news, Lord. And the good news that you want everyone to hear. And Lord, may we fix areas in our lives that distract us or overclutter us, Lord, and may we help others around us so that they too realise your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.